Hello, fellow fiends. Welcome to another episode of Creepy Cases and Spooky Spaces. I am your host, Cassie Opea. As you know, you can catch me with new episodes every Friday. And if you subscribe to the Patreon or the Anchor, you can get access to bonus episodes. You get early access to those Friday episodes, a merchandise discount, a thank you, and so much appreciation for the support, and also a welcome box of thank you swag. Don't forget, you can also support without subscribing by following on social media, liking posts, commenting posts, sharing posts, you know, all that fun stuff you like to do anyway. And I also have a Cash App and a Venmo set up for the podcast, which I will put on the screen for you to see as well. Don't forget, you can also purchase merchandise if you go to pizzaandpigtails.com and click on the Wiccan Fae store. There's a ton of merchandise from notebooks to buttons to pins to stickers to t-shirts and water bottles and all the fun stuff. And there's also the Wiccan Fae candle line that features the Creepy Cases and Spooky Spaces scent line, which, as I've mentioned in the most previous episodes, that there may be some new fragrances being added to that line. And also, if you or someone that you know are a content creator, an artist, a small business owner who's looking to spread the word about their creations, I do have ad space available on the podcast, and you can email me at creepycases.spookyspaces@gmail.com, and I will send you all of the packages that I offer. So without further ado, let's get started on this week's episode. So, known as the crossroads to the west, Fort Laramie is located in southeast Wyoming at the confluence of the Laramie and North Platte rivers. Now, it was once a well-known military fort, but is now actually a National Historic Site. It started out as a fur trading post in 1834. But by the 1940s, with so many people moving across the country, tension actually began to grow between the Plains natives and the emigrants because they felt that they were encroaching upon their lands, which, I mean, they were. But it became a military post in 1849, housing hundreds of soldiers. Now, with the amount of campaigns that raged through the years, you can only imagine the amount of spirits and occurrences that have been experienced there. A lady in a green dress, seen riding on a stallion, people experiencing disembodied voices yelling in their face, and phantom footsteps heard when no one else is around. So join me as I tell you all about the spooky space that is Fort Laramie in Wyoming. Trading post named Fort William in 1834. It was established by Robert Campbell and William Sublette. It was rectangular and relatively small. It actually only measured about 100 feet by 80 feet with hewn chopped cottonwood logs that were 15 feet high that constructed the fort's stake wall. Now, at this point, the beaver trade had already begun to kind of fade out in the area, so Campbell and Sublette realized that they would need to get into a trade that would sustain in the coming years. So they got into trading buffalo robes with the local native populations. And this was mostly the Cheyenne, the Lakota, and the Arapaho tribes. And they also traveled and hunted in the area. And it soon became known as a place of safety for settlers who were making the move across the United States. Now, by the 1840s, wagon trains would actually rest and resupply here. Now, Fort William was the only buffalo trade post until 1841, when Fort Platte opened its post about a mile away, and this actually caused Fort William's owners to replace their fort with a larger adobe walled, which adobe is an unburned mud product that's actually molded into pieces and then air dried in the sun. And they renamed it Fort John. And it was actually named for John Sarpy, who was a partner in the American Fur Company. Now, it was around this time when the first of many Western-bound immigrants arrived at Fort John. And Fort John, I feel like I've said that more than anything else, stood on a bluff overlooking the Laramie River, which would in turn bring in tens of thousands of people doing seasonal business. Now, it became a military post in 1849 when the Army purchased the older fort for $4,000 and began to build along the Oregon Trail. Now, on June 26th, the post was officially renamed Fort Laramie, and they added on stables, officers' quarters, a bakery, a guardhouse, and a powder magazine to house and support the fort garrison. Now, as time went on, the fort grew in size and status and became the principal military outpost on the northern plains. It also became the primary hub for transportation and communication as immigrant trails, stage lines, the Pony Express, and the Transcontinental Telegraph all passed through. Now, it also played a rather important role in hosting treaty negotiations with the Northern Plain Indian Nations. Now, the most known is the Horse Creek Treaty of 1851 and the controversial and contested Treaty of 1868. Now, this treaty actually came about as more and more people began to move west. Relations between the Native Americans and the Army had started out peacefully, but they quickly became tense as the number of people began to rapidly swell, and the Natives strongly defended their homes against people further pressing in on their land. Which, can you really blame them? Because I know that I can't. So tensions ran high. So to ensure the safety of travelers, Congress actually approved the establishment of forts along the Oregon Trail and a special regiment of riflemen to man them. Now the treaty brought about peace to the white men and the natives who agreed to settle within the Black Hills Reservation in the Dakota Territory. Now, in the 1850s, one of the main functions of the troops stationed at the fort was patrolling and maintaining the security of a lengthy part of the Oregon Trail. Now, this was rather difficult as the garrison was on the smaller size and the men traveled large distances. The peace that was agreed upon with the Horse Creek Treaty of 1851 only lasted about 3 years. In 1854, the Grattan Fight, where a wagon was passing through, incited an incident, killing an officer, an interpreter, and 29 soldiers from the fort, which this is a pretty big number. Now, this, along with many other incidents, led to a large conflict between the United States and the Plains Natives that would last until the end of the 1870s. Now, during the 1860s, while the Civil War was going on, the regular army was moved to the east and volunteer regiments, mostly the 7th Iowa and the 11th Ohio, replaced them at Fort Laramie. Now, the amount of people along the Oregon Trail started to decline, so the soldiers were tasked with completing the Transcontinental Telegraph Line, which included inspecting, defending, and repairing the talking wire, while also reinforcing the forts along the Bozeman Trail until 1868. Well, the Treaty of 1868 didn't really bring about the results that it intended. The conflict remained and even mounted once gold was discovered in the Black Hills in 1874. And as you can imagine, people took to the hills, literally, and they were in violation of those terms of the treaty. Now, the Sioux thought of the hills as sacred ground, and the leaders, Crazy Horse and Sitting Bull, along with close allies, fought to keep their land. Now, by 1876, Fort Laramie served as a staging area for troops, a communications and logistical center, and also a command post. Now, by the 1880s, the fighting amongst the two groups had diminished, and Fort Laramie relaxed on its military duties. And there were boardwalks that were built and trees that were planted to break up the kind of flat land scenery that was that the fort was kind of known for. Now, by the end of the 1880s, the Army decided that Fort Laramie had served its purpose. And in March 1890, the troops left the fort and the land was abandoned and sold in auction. Now, for the next 48 years, it went through some pretty hard times, but it was preserved and secured. And in 1938, it was added to the National Park System. And in 1960, it was named a National Historic Site. Today, you can actually visit the fort and see what a 19th century U.S. military post was like. With 11 restored buildings, Old Bedlam, the headquarters, the officers' headquarters built in 1849, the cavalry barracks, the sutler's store, a stone guardhouse, a bakery, and a museum of the Northern Plains, which spread all across 833 acres. Now, Fort Laramie is also home to a number of spirits. In 1870, the old captain's quarters was built as housing for commanding officers. Now, several reports of doors opening on their own, sounds of footsteps when no one is around, and lights have even been seen inside the building, although there's no electricity. And there's also a ghost here named George. Now, the barracks is also deemed haunted, housing hundreds of soldiers at one point. The sound of many, many boots can be heard walking across the second floor each morning. Now, Old Bedlam was built in 1849 to serve as a bachelor officer's quarters. And it's actually also the oldest military building in Wyoming. A cavalry officer can be heard here wandering the halls, telling people to be quiet. Now, other apparitions seen in the area include a young man in a raincoat talking to people who aren't there. In the hospital, where many remains have actually been discovered, some have been removed and some have been reinterred, there's an irritable surgeon in a blood-covered uniform. Now, near Deer Creek, there has been a headless man seen throwing rocks into the water. And this spirit has actually been reported as unfriendly and should be left alone. An erratic Civil War soldier has been spotted southeast of the fort. And in an area by Detention Dam, there's been a man seen holding a blood-spattered sword, and he's just staring into the water at midnight. An NPS ranger actually reported that in 1994, around 10 p.m. one evening, he approached Sawmill by the parking lot and heard a man's voice yell in his face, "Who goes there?" He used his flashlight to look around, but there were no footprints anywhere to be seen. In the mid-1990s, while on vacation, a family was visiting the cavalry barracks, and they split up. Two members went upstairs, and two members went downstairs. Now, while the two were looking at an area that were that was kind of blocked off, the door slammed shut behind them, and no matter how hard they tried, they just could not get it to budge, and they couldn't get out. So when they finally got the door opened, there was no one around. And they said that it seemed like somebody was actually holding the door closed from the other side. So, a group driving by the area noticed what seemed to be a large party going on in a building known to be empty. And in 1992, a volunteer at the site who was restocking sarsaparilla in a storage room noticed that there were actually two quarters standing up and perfectly balanced, like on their sides, on the cash box. And he said that no one had come into the room. He was the only one in there. And it was odd that these two quarters, he said one, the heads was facing him, and two, and on the other one, the tails was facing him. So that's kind of interesting. What does it mean? Now, there's also been faint music heard and reported across the parade grounds. A random fragrance of perfume when no one is around. And there's also always the feeling that you are not alone. Now, perhaps the most well-known spirit is the Lady in Green. And I couldn't find her name anywhere in my research, but her story begins when it was known as Fort John. And the agent in charge actually brought his daughter to visit the land. And she was known to be an accomplished equestrian, and she fell in love with the wide open land where she could ride, basically to her heart's desire. And she actually asked her father if she could stay on at the fort. Now, at first, he wasn't too happy with the idea, and he was concerned about her well-being because of the dangers on the rough frontier. But he ended up giving in and letting her stay with the condition that she wouldn't leave the compound without an escort. And he actually put several men in charge of guarding her. Now, I'm sure we all know that children don't always listen. And one day, while her father was gone, she actually snuck out and took off from the post, dressed in a green riding dress and a veiled hat on a big black stallion, while she carried a jeweled whip. Now, when someone spotted her, two men quickly chased after her, calling for her to stop. She ignored them and soon lost them while riding off onto the prairie. Unfortunately, she disappeared and was never seen again. Now, when her father returned, he was clearly distraught. He and many others spent a significant amount of time looking for her, but no trace of her, no trace of her body, and no trace of her horse have ever been found. Now, what happened to her remains a mystery to this day. Now, since her disappearance, her spirit has been said to be seen east of Fort Laramie on the Oregon Trail every 7 years. Her figure is seen on top of a black stallion, holding a jeweled whip and a long green riding dress, with her dark hair tucked up under a veiled hat. Now, a young man actually once pulled a prank around the time of year that she was supposed to be seen, and he threw a sheet on and rode a horse through the area, and he actually told his friend that he would never attempt that again because while he was riding, he heard phantom hoofbeats next to him. Ooh. So, what do you think happened to the lady in the green dress? Now, there are many theories. A lot of them, actually, most people think that she and the horse were overtaken by the natives. Maybe she went into land that she shouldn't have, because as we know from the past, hearing about the history, there were a lot of issues that happened, and the natives were very big on protecting their land from people who were just willy-nilly. There's also, she could have fallen into a ravine that nobody knew about or they never really found. But I feel like if the father and everybody really spent that much time and really spread out that far, I feel like they would have found the ravine, depending on how far she went as well. Some say that she may have drowned in the river, but I feel her horse's body would have been found. Also, I'm wondering if, like, how deep the rivers are. Should have looked into that to see how deep they are, because you never know. Maybe they just went down. Maybe she was thrown from the horse and thrown in a ravine or a river, and the horse still took off. But yeah, today nobody really knows what happened to her. So tell me, have you visited Fort Laramie? Did you have any experiences? Do you have any other stories that you've heard about Fort Laramie? Share them in the comments below. And as always, keep everything respectful if you are going to start a discussion. And on that note, I am sure that you know what is coming next. And say it with me. I'll see you next crime.
Creepy Cases and Spooky Spaces with Cassiopeia is a Pizza and Pigtails production. All episodes are researched, written, and edited by yours truly. You can find new episodes every Friday, with bonus episodes coming out every other Tuesday. You can find the podcast on your favorite listening platform, or now you can find it on YouTube as well. Don't forget to follow along on social media, creepycases.spookyspaces, for all future news, updates, and maybe some content that you won't find on the podcast. Also, be sure to subscribe so you can get access to bonus content, early access to content, and a couple of little thank you swag. If you'd like to contact me about appearing on a future episode, maybe you would like to suggest your own creepy case or spooky space, or maybe you'd also like to reach out about ad space, you can reach me directly at creepycases.spookyspaces@gmail.com, or feel free to reach out through those social media platforms as well. And, as always, see you next crime.